struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about welcoming a child. A few minutes before I was preparing today's talk, a friend phoned telling me that grandchild number 5 was due. The parents were very distressed. The grandparents were probably almost as distressed, since it was their house that this family of 6 was living in. In their hearts, the father of the young man said yes. The mother's heart, on the other hand, went out to the young mother. Now, this may be the very challenge that faces some of my listeners today, although not, of course, the majority. Nevertheless, there's always the challenge in one form or another of receiving what is given. God comes into our souls by means of the humblest accidents. And of course, I have quotation marks around the word accidents because, in God's view, there are no accidents. He comes into our souls by means of the humblest of those things that we call accidents. And in those, He is offering us His sufficient grace through the medium of things, people, even tiny babies, and events, some of which seem overwhelming. It's not easy for us to see those accidents as gifts of His grace. Sometimes they do seem overwhelming. But the Bible says that His power comes to its full strength in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Will we arrogate to ourselves the privilege of determining the scope and the limits of that grace, of that gift? God coming to us? Well, don't come too close, Lord. Don't invade this section of my house. I want to keep this little cupboard over here just for me. Please don't bother that. That's a form of arrogance, isn't it? And I remind you yet again of Mary's prayer of confident trust. Here I am, Lord. Do anything you want with me. Let it happen. Be it unto me. Take me. I'm your handmaiden. A vessel, a chalice, maybe a nest for a baby bird who comes from God's loving hand. I like those metaphors for a mother. We are certainly vessels in which the gift of life is formed and carried and nurtured. We are a chalice in which the life of Jesus is to be manifest to the rest of the world. And we are nests, a warm, safe, cozy place where the heart of a child may safely rest. But then, today I have a letter on the acceptance of infertility, quite a different means of grace, but God is in that as well. This lady starts out asking me to forgive her for typing the letter on a computer. My goodness, I don't need to forgive you for that. It's so nice and neat and easy to read. I've been meaning to write you for a couple of years. You are such an encouragement to me. I listen to your program every afternoon. I have recently discovered that I can hear you on such and such a station, so sometimes I listen twice a day. Your current series on Me, Obey Him has hit me right between the eyes. I have apologized to my husband and I'm asking the Lord to make me the wife I need to be. And then she pays me the great compliment of telling me that she considers me a spiritual mother. I'm very grateful if I seem to be that to some women. And I do need your prayers that God will make me a very faithful and obedient spiritual mother. And she tells me that my book, A Path Through Suffering, has been especially significant in her life. I began to journal my way through the book, writing down significant thoughts and convictions. I expect that not many read A Path Through Suffering unless they are in the fire, and I am no exception. Our specific trial is infertility. My husband and I have been trying to have children for 3.5 years. Within the last 2 years, we have been through 2 miscarriages and 3 cycles of fertility drug treatments, which were ultimately unsuccessful. We have both realized at this point that we are no longer convinced that the Lord is going to give us a child in the normal way. What a painful realization this has been. It's been a real struggle to learn to trust the Lord no matter what happens. And I'm by no means there yet. After I realized that I was having a problem with trusting, I heard you say that the decision of whether or not to trust God is the ultimate test. Did I say that? Well, I'll say it again. I believe it. The decision of whether or not to trust God is the ultimate test. And let me add here that, of course, that decision comes to us in many different forms, but probably almost daily. Will I trust Him for this? Will I trust Him for that thing? Will I trust Him for this most unexpected thing that has been, as it were, thrown into my day? She says, I was encouraged that I had not been mistaken, that this was a major test, and probably naively, I hoped that this might mean that the testing was almost over. Elizabeth, the issue of infertility is something that I've not heard you discuss. Statistics show that about 10% of all couples of childbearing age in this country have trouble conceiving. It seems that every day I hear of parents aborting or killing their children. Sometimes I wonder why those mothers weren't infertile instead of me. There has been no explanation for my miscarriages. We meet with my doctor soon to discuss where to go from here. I'm not sure what he will say, but I know that we do not have to take his advice. We are convinced that while medical advances can be a gift from the Lord, it is up to Him whether or not they will work in a particular situation. And of course, we don't want to do anything that is morally wrong. Right now, we are struggling with the question of when it is time to stop the search for a medical answer and get on with our lives. I want to pause in the reading of this letter on that phrase, get on with our lives. It's one that I hear very frequently. I don't know how carefully people think through their use of words, but I don't see how we can get on with our lives. God gives us 24 hours in each day. No matter what is going on in my life, I am getting on with my life. My life is getting shorter every day. For those who walk with the Lord, it would seem to me that no matter how strange the place in which they find themselves, it may not look like green pastures and still waters, and perhaps not as fearful or fearsome as the valley of the shadow of death. But these people are in a situation which is very perplexing. I'm thankful for her attitude that she and her husband want to do the right thing. They don't want to do anything immoral, and they don't have to do anything that the doctor recommends in order to become fertile. But they are getting on with their lives by trusting Him for today. Whether there's something to do medically today or not, the time is going by, and I'm so comforted to know that my times are in His hands. I can trust Him in heavenly love abiding. No change my heart can fear. I was driving on one of California's freeways this morning, just before doing this radio program, and I was thinking of the beautiful words of that hymn. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart can fear, and safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may rage about me, my heart may low be laid. But God is round about me, and shall I be dismayed? These people's hearts have been laid low, haven't they? But you are getting on with your life. Your times are in his hands. The days and the minutes and the hours are passing. No change occurs in the presence of God. And if you're abiding in his love, you're getting on with your life in exactly the way that God wants you to get on with it. She says, this causes real fear in me because I'm not sure what to do with my life if children are not to be a part of it. My heart's desire is to be a mother. We are beginning to look into adoption, but right now we have little energy to start a big push in that direction. I know, Elizabeth, that you aren't going to have any quick fixes for me. I just would value your wisdom and prayers. I realize, as I write, that I know who has the answers. Thank you so much. That was a lovely letter from one of my listeners, and I'm so glad that she knows who has the answers, and she can trust him. God is the author of life. God's design of the manner in which life is to be transmitted has been built into the human frame. As for all these various fancy new methods of conceiving, don't ask me. I try to stick to what the Bible clearly tells us, not to what it doesn't. All babies through all history up until the 20th century, with the single exception of the baby Jesus, have been conceived through the union of one man and one woman. Surrogate motherhood, in vitro fertilization, artificial insemination, I cannot in good conscience recommend any of those. But I can recommend acceptance and trust and willingness to receive what God gives you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.